Welcome to Entrepreneurs the Playbook. We're here live at the National Restaurant Association in the Fishbowl with incredible guests. And I'm blessed to have a Swiftie here. That's Brian Swift. He's the quad father. He's an author, an incredible podcast host. But why I love Brian is he has the biggest heart I know in the game of philanthropy. He's a humanitarian. His mission is aligned with mine to empower over a billion people to be happy. Welcome to the Playbook, Brian Swift.
David, thank you. I am honored to be in the fishbowl. Honored to be a part of your community.
And we're honored to have you as part of the community. To be a member of our community, you have to want two things: to help other people and to know people that will help other people. But it doesn't work in that community unless you ask for help. People just either offer help and we don't receive it, or they don't ask for help. And then they wonder why, when you have all these extraordinary people, extraordinary frequency, extraordinary energy, why things aren't getting done. One of the subtleties of the neighborhood, which you're learning through the process of teaching others as well, is you have to be able to receive in a group like that, but you also have to be able to ask. When have you matured in this understanding? Because you are a philanthropist, I'm sure you've, in your history, really just tried to give, and you forgot to, one, receive, and two, ask for more.
Well, I think that understanding started for me earlier in life with being confined to a wheelchair. And when you go from being able to do all the things you want to do for yourself to now relying on people, it is hard, even at a young age, to ask for people's help, even for the simple things, even if you can't physically do them. So you take that a step further. Now you're dealing in a business world where you want to make it on your own. You don't want to be beholden to others. And I think a lot of us go through life that way. Like, I want to make it on my own. I don't want to owe anybody. I want to make it on my own. So that's, I don't know where that's kind of not drilled into us, but when I started working with you and you talked about every day you should make three asks, one personally, one on social media, one on the phone, it was contrary to a lot of things I have been doing, but once I started doing it, I excelled exponentially. So I just followed, you know, when we got together, I just didn't question it, didn't overthink it. I just followed some of your rules and principles.
So interesting. You're known as the quad father, quadriplegic. You also are a lawyer. So we have that common curse of spending all that time and money to learn the law. But within the context of being a quadriplegic, this might sound funny, but you have helped me. I went to Bucky O'Neill's Fire Walk, and one of the first exercises to set context was to break a board with the opposite hand. And he doesn't let you know it's the opposite hand. And it's two cinder blocks with a board. And so you get so pumped up, and you think you need all this force. So I went through it, and I hit my thumb. And it was almost a month ago. This is a minor injury. I didn't go to the hospital. I didn't go to a doctor. But it was interesting because, especially in the first 2 weeks, it inhibited my capability. I couldn't button my own pants. Now, I made that into a positive because I had my wife button my pants and then try my best to transition that into other benefits for me, unsuccessfully, by the way. But I tried.
You got to try.
Got to ask.
You got to take the shot. Exactly. You got to take the shot.
But I was thinking to myself, because it was becoming a pain in my ass. And I'm like, this is little. Like, nobody said, oh my gosh, you hurt your thumb, Dave. I could see it's blood, right? Nobody gave a shit. But it literally slowed me down. And I thought to myself, wow, you better appreciate the rest of your body. You better appreciate the rest of your capability. You every day have to remind yourself, remember, and recollect how grateful you are. But I also was grateful for the lesson. And I was wondering how hard it is for you, because obviously this is more than a stub thumb, to find the gratitude in what seems to me to be a pain in the ass.
Yeah, you know, I don't struggle with it. And maybe it's because I've been in a wheelchair for 45 years.
Did you when you were young?
No.
Oh, nice.
No, and I just, it never weighed me down. It was always, you know, overcome, adapt, or ask. I wasn't going to stay in a state of being frustrated, being overwhelmed. Has that happened? Sure, it has. But I just refused to be that person. So I had no problem asking. If I can't find a way or make a way, I will ask. I have too many more important things to do than worry about my feelings of insecurity because I have to ask somebody to help me. And taking that into the business world is so critical to be able to exponentially move forward. Like you've always said, find somebody who's been there, who's done it. We make so many mistakes. We limit our minds, limit ourselves so much.
It does. And the meaning of the past limits us. And you've obviously given a different meaning to a past that others aren't capable or haven't done themselves. And they've limited their entire why me, not try me life. And you live a try me life. Last night we had a VIP charitable dinner and there was a fire. Believe it or not, the restaurant's name was Firehouse. And we had a fire with literally a hooks and ladder, a fireman on the ladder. And when we were exiting, they had turned off the elevator.
Correct.
And I was on a tight time frame, and I was trying to figure out how are we going to carry Brian down in that fire.
Crispy or extra crispy.
Exactly. Have you ever had on the other? Because I was afraid for you, right? I'm an expert in reaction to fear. I don't really give a shit, but I reacted to fear. And I still get choked up. Emotions for me, which jokingly, when I saw you outside and I was driving away, I pulled my window down. I'm like, free Brian Swift. For you, in the study of reaction to fear, there has to be more occasions than someone who stubs their thumb of fear. So I want to ask you about how you react to when you may be frustrated or even afraid with the thing full of smoke and you can't get downstairs.
You know, my faith carries me through overreacting.
Nice.
I just believe that things will work out, whether I've got to crawl down the stairs, be pushed down the stairs. I guess my faith is always, in all the time I've been in a wheelchair, has kept me away from overreacting to fear. Plus, I have a wife, I have kids. I've got to be the rock for them. I mean, we're living examples. We as men, husbands, fathers, it's old school, but I have got to be that rock for them. And they can't see me squirm. They can't see me overreact. They can't see me in any type of fear. I guess I bury that. And maybe burying it's the wrong word. I guess I have faith that it'll work out.
Yeah, if that didn't work out, if your faith doesn't work out, I had Jalen Jones from the Bears there, and he said he'd have no problem carrying you down in 2 seconds by himself.
Probably not. I'm not as light. Yeah, it's dead weight, but I've been carried up and downstairs.
Yeah.
In the wheelchair, out of the wheelchair. You learn if you want it bad enough, I'll get carried. I'll get dragged. That's what life has dished me. Now I've got to figure out how to cope with it, deal with it, learn to enjoy it, and learn how to appreciate it.
Yeah, and as an example of somebody, I always say, find somebody in a situation you want to be in if you want to get there. Most people's problems is they don't show up. They talk.
Right.
They talk. And they can come up with 1,000 different excuses why they're not going to show up. And when people tell me, oh, sorry, you know, I can't make the VIP dinner. Oh, I can't make it to the show. I can't meet you here. And I said, what else are you telling yourself you can't do?
Right.
Because I'm okay with someone telling me I got more important shit to do.
Right.
That's cool.
Exactly.
Right. Like I got my niece's graduation. I can't come to your dinner. I'm cool. But when people get into that blame, shame, and justification, I can't make it, you know. What else are you limiting? You obviously, it's harder for you to show up when I'm talking about logistically harder than me, right? Which was proven this morning. But you were here before me. You were here before me. And, right, all these different things. How do you, and I see this in your podcast, really communicate the fact that you gotta show up. You gotta put the effort in. You just can't talk about it.
That was bred in me by my parents. I mean, that was just the way it was. Going to school, you know, you didn't show up to class when the bell rang. Well, I went to an all-Catholic boys' school. If you were there when the bell rang, they shut the door, you were done. I mean, that didn't go over. Great parenting, phenomenal parenting. You know, your job starts at 8 o'clock, because I've told my kids, if you get there at 8 o'clock, you're late. You better get there 20 minutes early. Get all your stuff done. So for me, it was a way of life from the time I started as a, you know, delivering newspapers as a 12, 13-year-old. You know, make sure it's on the porch. Make sure you're doing things the right way. So it's been drilled in me, and I've created a support team that helps me accomplish these things.
Now, you and I are both football fans.
Absolutely.
And you played football, and you coach football.
Correct.
I personally think, and although some of my ultra-conservative Jewish family don't like the fact that I played college football and I let my son play football, the positives outweigh any risk beyond belief.
Absolutely.
And you're someone who can attest to that as a coach. What are some of the lessons that you've taken from football that you're applying not only to your own life, but reapplying to the kids that you coach, that you think go beyond any classroom, any YouTube videos, any Dave Meltzer Instagram inspirational post, for example? What are some of those lessons? Because football has changed my life.
Absolutely. It's changed mine. And imagine a father that broke his neck at the age of 17. That discussion I'd have with my wife, with my mother and father, to allow my two sons to play football. Yeah. I mean, that was not, that didn't go over easy.
Yeah.
Oh boy, that, you know, like, do you really, are you sure that, you know, I will support them whatever they wanted to play, and they both wanted to play football, and I supported it. What happened to me never stopped me. It was something, you know, nobody could explain. Stuff happens, right? So the lessons I've applied definitely is learn from the losses. As a coach, as a player, you learn. What happens when you win? You clap, you pat each on the back, you're happy. You don't learn anything when you win.
Yeah.
You know, the coaches aren't, they should be going over the film and finding out what we could have done better, and most do. But when you lose, that's when that you've got to really do that deep dive into, where am I accountable? What did I, as a coach especially, you know, did I prepare them the right way? So learning from our losses and not holding on to them is important in anything in life. Have a short memory. John Maxwell, you know, sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. You know, you will not lose as long as we're learning. What did we learn this week? From the last game, from the game we lost. So following that into life, to me, is a critical point to take into life.
One of the common threads beyond the commitment that it takes to be successful or pursue your potential is the idea of learning to love things. I think it's for me, a dangerous thing to tell people you should do what you love. You learn to love things that you don't like or love. And that's the magic. That's the secret sauce. That's the cheat codes in life, is when you waste the struggle, then you're at a loss. And
right.
If you can learn to love the struggle and apply relativity, meaning to the struggle, and looking at your entire journey, you are someone that has mastered this ability to learn to love what you don't like or love.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that. And I wish I had more. I need to sit back and understand how I did that.
Yes.
Because I don't know how I've done it. In all honesty, I can't say I did A, B, C, D, E. It just is something that's come with time, which I think many things do over time. It came with a lot of tough love from my parents, a lot of tough love from coaches, because, I mean, I was not a great player. I asked a question last night about skill versus will.
Yeah.
I didn't have a lot of skill. I had a high school coach that said, Swift, if you were in a race with a pregnant woman, you'd come in third place.
Yeah, I heard he called you anti-Swift.
Oh, I was. And I didn't look it, but I just didn't. I wasn't. But I had the will. I mean, you knock me down, I'll get up. What do you want me to do? I'll get up. That I was blessed with. I don't know why.
It's such a blessing. And sometimes we're born with a happy gene. Sometimes we're born with an energetic inheritance, a genetic inheritance that can contribute to our will. And a lot of people may or may not take credence to the power of finding and illustrating and illuminating the people that have will. I have found the common denominator, which you have, of all fulfilled, passionate, purposeful, and profitable people is a desire that you must be what you can be, a willpower, no lack of commitment. And part of our mission, both of our missions, as we are teammates together in this mission, is to provide the intelligence, intuition, and inspiration for other people to not quit. As we finish up, I'd love for you, I'm sure you have many philosophies, mantras, and quotes that are involved around never quitting and never giving up or getting back up or getting back started or restarted, whether it's the Rockies and the Rudies of the world.
Oh, my gosh.
You and I both love that story and our stories about getting back up. What is something that inspires you when life kicks you in the balls one more time, which it always does?
Absolutely.
Every day. What is it that you go to get yourself back up?
I go to loud music in the garage with a heavy bag, and I punch the crap out of the heavy bag. I will go for a 5-mile ride in my wheelchair and just try to go till I am in pain. Self-induced discomfort, I call it.
Yeah.
I will self-induce discomfort, and when I'm done with that, I'm in an amazing place. So you do have to find it. One, you have to recognize, like, I need to do something. And then two, you have to understand what that something is and be able to do that. Now, if I can't get out and ride, I will go in the garage and I will hit a heavy bag with the music on loud and come in the house a different person. And I owe that to my family. I owe that to my parents. I owe that to myself to be able to do that.
And as a clear icon of never giving up, of looking to the light, the love, and the lessons through wisdom and faith, Brian Swift is empowering others to empowering others to be happy. What a proud moment it is for me, a great member of our community. If you don't follow the Quad Father, if you're not listening to the podcast, and you haven't reached out for that element of inspiration, then you're missing out. Check out Brian Swift. I promise you that your life will be in a better situation, a better place, and a better perspective. Brian, you certainly have done that for me and continue to do that for me. Thank you for showing up. I appreciate you so much.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the lessons that you have not just shared and brought to me, but I share those lessons with my family and friends and people who also need those lessons. And you have, since I've joined your group, joined your coaching group, my life lessons purpose has exponentially grown. I could say that with 100% certainty. And I am excited to see it grow in the future, in near future, not over a long time. You can exponentially move yourself in a great direction.
We are accelerating. So thank you. Growing and aggregating a bigger group of people that want to help each other and know people that help each other. My favorite Swiftie, Brian Swift, here at the National Restaurant Association. I'm David Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, the Playbook.